If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to Luke, the second chapter. This morning we're ministering from Luke, the second chapter, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. I said he came by Spirit to church. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Hallelujah. Let me depart in peace. I've seen what I was believing for. I'd like to give a title to sharing a few minutes here from God's Word on the wealth of waiting. The wealth of waiting. I don't remember seeing some things like I have seen them before, because the story of Christ usually centers on other folks that are there in Matthew and Luke. But it seemed like I just could not get away from this man with the name of Simeon, a just and devout man, waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, waiting for one to take their part. It's sort of like an attorney would represent someone and help them in their time of need, waiting for one to take their part. And here was this man, Simeon. He was a just man and a devout man. Not much was going on back then, but he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for one to take their place, because it had been revealed to him, you will not pass away until you have seen the Christ child. You know, very few people get excited about their destiny. But I believe with all of my heart that Calvary Cathedral is getting closer to the destinies that God has for us. Because we're seeing more people affected. More people come to Jesus. More people's lives are being touched. I received a note Sunday week ago. Or was it on Wednesday night? Time passes quickly. It was on a little piece of notebook paper, obviously torn out of a little notebook somewhere. And a lady said she gave the months a few months ago, this time last year, earlier in, I believe it was September was the time that she dated back. She said we were homeless. Three children, we were homeless. Had nothing really going for us. Paraphrasing, because I did not remember to bring that little letter with me this morning, but said someone invited us to come to Calvary Cathedral, and they rode on a bus and they came in, and they said our entire lives have been changed. We have a roof over our head now, and when we had no home, Calvary Cathedral is our home. We feel at home here. People really care about them here. And it was just a letter that warmed my heart to think, is every life touched the same way? No. In this room today, we all receive things in a little different way. But I'll tell you, I thank God for a group of people who've caught the vision to be some part of that team. Not everyone is able to go out, but that we're a part of a team that's reaching people with God's love. Tommy Barnett, who we've known Tommy for many, many years, has built two of the great churches in America, made the statement somewhere recently. He said, "The hope of the church is in caring for the poor." That's not all we do. That's not all someone else does. But it needs to be involved in the mix. You don't see this in many television programs, even religious programs, because you see the slick copy side of folks that are abundantly blessed. And that's okay. That's fine. But we must never forget that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And it's hard to get into a gated community unless you have an intro there. But there are folks that it's not hard to get to them and tell them that God has a wonderful plan for your life and that God loves you. Hallelujah. And though life may have been difficult here, we're here to help start making your life to be better and to know that you're going to spend eternity. What a downer to be unfortunate all in your lifetime and then leave this world and not go to heaven. So maybe things haven't been the best for you, but we've come to help you start on a different pathway, a different road. We've come to start touching your life. I know we all were touched by Glenn Tidwell and several. So many of you have just said things that just bless me through and through to see the compassion in your heart. Folks, you know, but for the grace of God, we could be homeless. But for the grace of God, we could be in very adverse circumstances. Thank God that things are as good as they are. I thank God for food to eat and place to sleep and live and a church that loves us for the right reasons and people that are enjoying the thing that I'm hearing even about new folks that are coming in and being a part of Calvary. We are just happy to be here and we want to be a part of all that God is doing. As I looked at Simeon, it reminded me of Psalms 13 that I ministered from that portion of God's word a few months ago. How that the question was asked, how long? Well, Simeon knew that he was called. And as I look at this just and devout man, he could have become discouraged. He could have quit. He could have done a lot of things. But this man continued to serve God. You know, as I looked just quickly thinking, you know, Noah, it took a long while. I'm glad it doesn't take 120 years. We don't seem to live that long nowadays. But he kept his faith in God. I think of Abraham. We shout about Abraham, but on one of those promises of God alone, he waited 25 years. You know, things just didn't fall into place. You go down freeways today and you better get out of the way. Everyone's in a hurry. No, that's my parking place. And people are a little bit on edge. But what if it took 25 years or 10 years or 5 years? There was Isaac. It took time to see what God did in his life. Jacob, Elijah spent some time before he saw, 3.5 years before he saw that drought broken. Elisha, time. David, you know, after David had been anointed to be king, he's running like a criminal all over the countryside to stay out of Saul's spear. I mean, as you read the Bible, I thrill at those stories, but I must remind you, things took a long time for some of those people. I mean, it took a long time for some of those people. But it did come to pass. I think of Joseph. I say it so often, I would not want to counsel with Joseph. I think there would be so many questions that I could not answer. Just tell me, Pastor, when, why, how, where. But God brought him through. How that man kept a good spirit in the adversity he went through, I think that's the thrilling thing to me about the story of Joseph. I mean, anyone that had been through total rejection by your family, they tried to even kill you, and you got mercy from one of the brothers. Yet there came a time when, in spite of every lie and in spite of everything that people brought against Joseph, from his own family to people that were jealous of him in the new land in which he lived, Joseph was able to say that this is okay. This is all right. I don't want anyone's head. I'm not mad at anyone. I'm just thankful that things are as good as they are. Well, who is this guy? Well, he's second only to Pharaoh. And he's blessed of the Lord. Moses, you think of the years that Moses spent. 40 years in exile. 40 years. Man, that's a long time. That's longer than many of you in this audience have lived. But Moses, thank God, was used for God. Someone said there was 40 years that he thought he was somebody. 40 years he found out he was nobody. And the next 40 years he finds out that God's everything. I like that analogy. There was Caleb and Joshua, the only two that stood against the spies that went with them to spy out the promised land. Caleb and Joshua. Joshua and Caleb. But they're the ones that came back with a good report. And you know, folks with a good report always ultimately win. I want to say that again. Folks with a good report ultimately always win. And then I think of Saul. He refused to wait. He entered a priestly office that he was not supposed to be a part of. And it cost him. It cost him dearly. He refused to wait. You know, we might as well wait joyfully. And I really think that everyone in this room, there's some area in your life, there's some dream, there is some vision that you have before you leave this life. I really believe that. I know there are several things in my vision and within me that I'm believing God for, and I believe they will come to pass. Hebrews 10:36 said, "For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Patience. It doesn't always happen overnight. It seems like it's been very fast, but I think of 1964, of the humble beginning that we had. Nothing going for us. Nothing going for us except a building that desperately needed cleaning out, cleaning up, painted up, and had been abandoned for 2 years for the birds to fly in and out of the windows. But thank God that church became, that was a post office, became a church. And then that filled up, and then we went downtown, and then we're where we are today. James 1:2 said, "Know this, the trying of your faith worketh patience." The trying of your faith. You see, when things go adverse, really it's the trying of our faith. It's the trying of our faith. And it works patience within us. And then James 1:4, "But let patience have her perfect work." Are you ready for this? "That you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing." I want to read that one more time. James, the first chapter, verse 4. "But let patience have her perfect work." Be patient. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel wherever you are today. Let patience have her perfect work. And that's not waiting grudgingly. That's waiting saying, "The best is yet to come." That's saying the best is yet to come. "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be," three things there, "perfect, entire, wanting nothing." And that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ will produce in your life. I know I still have a ways to go, but I look back and see all the ways that God has led me and changed me. I mean, It seems like I've been more mindful of that in the past year or two. Just remembering how God took my life, changed me, blessed me, gave me a good wife, blessed me by calling me into the ministry, and then has privileged me to be a pastor of this church for these years. And I'm still growing every day. I'm still learning every day. And if things aren't just the way you want them, remember, God's not finished with you yet. And of course, Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. How many times do you hear stories of people that were around finance or they manipulated something and they got a grudge? They said, everybody around here is getting rich but me. And so they did something illegal, or they stole something, or they, through computers, pulled some manipulation, thinking no one would ever catch up with them. But beware, your sin will find you out. And so they do the wrong thing, and many times serve time because they just became weary in doing the right thing. Be content with such things as you have while you're on your way to seeing things being better. Thank God you have legs or whatever it took to get in here today. Thank God I can stand up today. Thank God I had a way to ride to church today. Thank God that I have the health to be in this house today. Whoa. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Now think about this man. His name is Simeon. Sort of a no ID. I mean, people around him knew who he was. But he's not as famous as most people. But let's look at the wealth of waiting. While you're waiting, God's at work in you. While you're waiting, God's at work in your finances. While you're waiting, God is at work. He's still working in me, and he's still working in you. While he was waiting, Simeon believed. He didn't gripe, he believed. He wasn't complaining. He believed that God's word was true. The promise had come to them, before you die, before you leave this world, you're going to see the Christ. And you could not shake him off of that belief. So Simeon believed God's word, that it would come to pass. Also, Simeon was faithful. Kind of grinds on you to be faithful when it seems like everyone else is being blessed and not faithful, and here you are faithful. Just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Because people are not going to be your final judge. The Lord will give the rewards out one of these days. Just be faithful when people are looking and when they're not looking. When people say thank you and when they forget to say thank you. When someone's trying to use you, it seems. Just be faithful. And of course, I can't leave this one out. Simeon did not quit. He did not quit. Don't take early retirement from all God's called you to do. Don't take early retirement from the prize and the vision that has been in your heart. Simeon did not quit. I think so often of the story of Colonel Sanders, who walked the aisle, I believe it was on a Wednesday night, Wayman Rogers Church in another state, at 65 years of age, gave his heart to Jesus. And he'd been selling a little bit of chicken, but now he was just on the verge of his chicken being all over the world, finger-licking good chicken. Colonel Sanders, he's over in Africa, he's in South America, He's in Russia. He's all over the world. All over the world. You see, he was 65 years old, Social Security retirement age, and he just didn't quit. Hallelujah. Another thing that I noticed about Simeon, the Holy Ghost led and empowered him. You'll see several references to the Holy Ghost. You say, what's the difference in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit? They're the same. I remember hearing Dr. Shambach through the years. He said, I just like to hear him say, Holy Ghost. There's just something about it that shakes things up. The Holy Spirit. And I'm not making light of that either. Thank God for both. Both titles there. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. This man had the Holy Ghost upon him. The Holy Ghost was revealing things to him. He even went to church. Let's see which verse. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. There it is in Luke chapter 2 verse 26. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. You're not here by accident this morning. You're here on purpose. You are here on purpose. And I exhort you, believe God for miracles today. Believe God for a turnaround in your life today. Believe God for a new start in your life today. Oh, he's that kind of a God. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Now, to be honest with you, that's just my head thought. I think one of the most boring things in the world would have been a temple about that time. But things got picked up when Simeon came in because he came with the Holy Ghost. He didn't just come to get away from the house. He didn't just come to have some different environment or meet some new friends. He came to meet God. And he, by the Holy Ghost, came into the temple by the Spirit. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, oh, there he was. You know, as I look at this man, you say, well, nothing really exciting happens in my life. Get ready, get ready, get ready. How many years this man showed up for work, working for God, having a position in the temple? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But with all heart fervency, if I could only tell it like I really felt it when God began to show it to me. A man who was faithful, a man who refused to quit, a man who was sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, a man who was dependable, sort of a quiet, private kind of a person. But he was there. I want to be in God's there. Because it's in God's there that the greater blessings come. Hallelujah. Well, somebody has disappointed me in church in years gone by. But you need a new there, a new attitude. Don't let someone ruin your day that said something ugly or someone didn't treat you right. Just keep going with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Just keep going with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. This man was just. He was devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He knew in his heart of hearts that something was going to happen. Simeon knew God had called him to that place in that temple. Simeon's faith was willing to trust and obey and to continue on doing what God called him to do. Oh my. He kept a good spirit in all seasons of life. He was willing to wait. He was willing to wait. Sometimes God seems like a slowpoke, but he's always on time. He's not too early. He's not too late. And you look at this man. One day, in all of this waiting, not quitting, refusing to have a bad spirit, believing the word of God, being led by the Holy Ghost. One day, he's doing his job, and a couple walks in. The Holy Ghost said, that's it. Well, it's only a baby. That's the baby. That's the one. Out of all the babies that you've dedicated, out of all the moments you've had in this temple. Thank you for holding steady, Simeon. I knew I could count on you. Take that baby in your arms. Hallelujah. This man literally took in his arms the Christ child. I don't hear of anyone else getting that wonderful nod from God. But this couple comes in. Is it just a baby? Oh, no. This is a different baby. Well, yeah, yes, but no. No, but yes, yeah. And he took in his arms Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And throughout eternity, everyone in heaven will know this man Simeon was faithful, steady, trustworthy. He got the attention of God. He held Jesus in his arms when he was only a baby, before his public ministry started. God's here to touch our lives today. And I think if you could just put your hands out, you too could embrace the spirit of this Christ child. Whew. It's hot up here, I tell you, praise God. He's here. He's not just another baby. Oh, he grew in favor with God and man, had a ministry on earth. They crucified him, put him in a grave, but he came forth, resurrected over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Because he was willing to wait. I believe I'm speaking to some folks here this morning. Don't throw it all away. We use the crude illustration of don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. How quickly sometimes we throw opportunities from God to the side. Oh, it just, I don't know how Simeon felt, but I think I have a little insight, a little revelation today. Hold on to the Christ child. Hold on to that humble beginning. Hold on to whatever God's called you to do. To greet at the door, to sing in the choir, to help clean the church, to be a part of the team that's reaching out and winning thousands of people to Jesus. Don't throw the baby away. God's put a baby on all of our doorstep. And that baby will be there as long as we're ready to show the love of God to a world that's hurting. So as I look at this man, when he took the baby in his arms, he had fulfilled his destiny, the reason he was born. Did you know that God, before the world was formed, knew that you'd be sitting exactly where you're sitting, knew who would be sitting next to you? He knows every one of us in this room. He saw that before the world was created. And he also has anointed me to say, there's no such thing as a nobody in this auditorium. There's no such thing as someone who is not important. You are important. You are special to God. You have gifts and talents and blessings and anointings that only God could give to an individual. We're all special. We serve a great God. And life is more than just a work-a-day week or a work-a-day schedule or whatever. Folks, it's time for us to shout it from the housetops. My best is yet to come. My best is yet to come. Life may have been difficult. Life may have been challenging. Some people may have let me down. Maybe some people lied or they stole from me, something in a commercial way, whatever, 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 whatever. Oh, this morning it's time to just look up and say, whatever my past has been, it's under the blood. It's under the blood. And from now on, it's Jesus and God's best, because God's best is really mine. Well, he discovered his destiny there, and now he's ready to die. I'm not being morbid with that, but I mean, what he had lived a lifetime of his service in that temple. He said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I'm telling you, this is not church as usual today. The water's running deep. The Spirit of God is speaking encouragement into your mind and your body and your spirit. God is telling you, don't be discouraged. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep on believing God. Your best is yet to come. If you believe it. If you don't believe it, not so. So here's a man by the name of Simeon, a just and a devout man, waiting. And then comes the baby. Hallelujah. Are you expecting the baby? Well, he's grown up now. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No longer a babe in Bethlehem's manger. No longer a babe in Simeon's arms. He grew in favor with God and man. And now throughout eternity, he's going to show his love to us. In fact, he's praying for us right now, ever making intercession at the right hand of the Father. Think about it. Yeah, you, me, us. I just release my faith that this is not just another church service. You're not just another attendee in this auditorium. But I tell you, a miracle spirit is all over this room today, and God's here to give you a new start. God's here to strengthen you, to bless you, to encourage you. Christmas is more than giving of gifts and doing those things. To me, Christmas is a time of new beginnings. That's why it's so close to New Year's. I'm not going to argue the date with you, but I'm telling you, it's a time of new beginnings. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we love you today. Lord, let the spirit of Simeon rise within us, waiting, but knowing that there's a wealth in waiting. It's a wealth that goes beyond money, monetary things, blessings that this world reaches out for. There is a wealth to those who wait. For he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And Father, we know that we're closer to eternity today than we have ever been. Oh God, I'm asking you to just electrify every heart in this room. Just let the electric power of the Holy Ghost touch each life. Let them know that they're worth everything that Jesus died for on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be unto God. The wealth of waiting. Don't give up. Don't quit. Hold steady. Don't throw your faith away. Hold on to your faith. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Could you just lift your voice and thank God things are as good as they are? On our way. Oh, the spirit of that baby is in this room today. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.